This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast is brought to you by The Shirt Shop and Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com. That's Zaxby's.com. Welcome back to the Bama Beat. This is Clint Lamb sitting here once again with Cecil Hurt. How are you doing this morning, Cecil?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Obviously, Alabama was able to walk away with a 47-23 victory over South Carolina on Saturday. A little bit of a, you know, while the score was 24 points, you wouldn't exactly consider it a blowout in any, you know, shape, form, or fashion outside of maybe the scoreboard. What were some of your initial thoughts on the game?
Well, South Carolina was going to have a hard time stopping Alabama from scoring. The place was loud. Congratulations. Wasn't full, completely full, but South Carolina fans were fired up. Really got loud when it looked like they had scored on the fake punt. I think that was Holden. I think he got a little bit of cloth. But they certainly had it well designed and had it set up to score. And, you know, people say, oh, that could have, that might have, certainly every score, every play could have changed things. But they were just having a hard time stopping Alabama's first offense from scoring. So they were going to have to find a way to get 40 on the board. You know, there's two ways to look at Alabama's defense. They were pretty good in the red zone. They did give up some yardage. They couldn't get off the field. 86 snaps is way more snaps than they want to be playing. So they couldn't get off the field. They had a couple of situations where they were about to get off and they had penalties. Had two illegal participation penalties, which are, I'm sure, driving Nick Saban crazy. So putting young guys out there, and I thought South Carolina did a good job of exploiting that where they could. Their touchdowns, their first touchdown was an unbelievable throw and catch. Absolutely. Couldn't cover it better. I think Shaq Carter got two fingers on the ball. And the guy still caught it. So a great play for him there. And then they added one late. You know, that was a non-counter unless you were financially involved in the game. So
yeah. And I think that, you know, when you look at, a lot of people are going to point to the inside linebacker play. To be fair, coming into this, you know, whole season, when you lose your two top, you know, seniority linebackers, Dylan Moses and Joshua McMillan, you replace them with two true freshmen, you're going to have growing pains. I just think that this is the first time, based off of the way that they had played against Duke and New Mexico State, both players had played pretty well. And so I think that fans maybe got lulled into thinking that it was not going to be a weakness when there's still some growing that needs to be, you know, done at that position.
Yeah, a couple of things about that. Duke didn't really have time to prepare knowing that Dylan Moses would be out. He got hurt on Monday. By that time, they'd done most of their game plan. And South Carolina has known since for 3 weeks, obviously, that they'd be facing those freshmen. And I think they did some things to take advantage of that. And the other thing, you know, Nick Saban did what he has to do. He put those guys out there, and they're going to have to trial by fire a little bit. I thought there were times when I thought Shane Lee played okay, for the most part. I thought Christian Harris got out of position a few times. They put Ali Cahill in there. He got out of position a few times, but he also made some plays. He's just going to have to learn. He's just going to have to get out there and play. When the light clicks on for them, you know, I don't know. Maybe this year, maybe next year. It'll pay off eventually. But, the talented teams, you know, Southern Miss will have a game plan that'll exploit the same thing.
Well, I think that, you know, there was certainly, it was interesting to see how Shane Lee and Christian Harris kind of struggled compared to a guy like Ali Cahill. I thought that Christian Harris, you know, was kind of, both him and Shane Lee played timid at times.
Right.
You definitely saw that in a lot of zone reads. I was watching some film last night, and it just seemed like, you know, several occasions Shane Lee was playing, you know, QB on the zone read.
Right.
When clearly it was supposed to be Anthony Jennings or Terrell Lewis, slow playing, forcing the give, and then you know, the backside tackle was able to reach up on Shane Lee. And it's just him, you know, it seemed like he was not confident in himself. First SEC road game.
Sure.
There's going to be some
pretty good offensive line. South Carolina. Pretty, I thought they were pretty good.
And so, you know, that's going to play a factor. And then, of course, Christian Harris, kind of same thing to some degree. They put Ali Cahill in, and Cahill's problem, he was playing fast. I'll give him credit. A lot of over pursuit, really trying to get too aggressive, and a lot of cutbacks on those zones.
Which is the classic freshman. You know, you get out there, and the first thing in your mind is just to play as hard as you can play, just 100%, you know, all out. And defenses take advantage of that. So it'll be interesting to see how much he progresses even from 1 week to the next.
Absolutely. And, you know, with what Southern Miss does well, they're not really a great rushing team.
No, they're not.
Very pass happy. Jamie Newman, Quez Watkins, we talked about.
Jalen Adams.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just high profile passing offense as far as Conference USA goes. Just maybe they won't be as tested as much against the run, but then you got Texas A&M and some of those teams coming up. Kellen Mond, very good at the zone read stuff. You know, Spiller, their freshman running back. They're going to have a rushing attack. So
they went down to Troy and scored 47 points, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not saying Troy is a SEC level. Don't misinterpret that. But a lot of teams go into Troy, and, you know, a lot of Power 5 teams can go into Troy and not score 47 points.
Right. Well, and, you know, when you talk about those guys, the inside linebackers, and you look at the fact that you got a true freshman in DJ Dell starting in front of them, with the potential injury news to LeBron, right?
Yeah, I don't think – wherever LeBron is, and we'll see what Coach Saban says later today. We're taping this on Monday morning. He hadn't been 100% all year.
Right.
Even when he's been playing, I don't think he's been playing at 100%.
Well, and you probably going to have Justin Abuji. So two true freshmen on the defensive line, two freshmen at linebacker, and then Jordan Battle, potentially five starters, true freshman starters.
You know, Justin had to play a lot, and this wasn't just his first SEC road game. I mean, this is, you know, he hadn't been able to practice until very recently. So it's all really new to Justin, and he'll be fine. Dale will be fine. It just affects the depth some more. I thought even in the second half, even though he got tossed, I thought Christian Barmore was aggressive and
very aggressive,
made some plays. So we'll see how he responds in the second half against Southern Miss.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, when you talk about losing LeBron.
Close call, I'll say that.
Very close. And, you know, we've seen those in the past where it's very questionable. I know that there's a lot of Kentucky fans upset with a targeting call that ended up playing a huge factor in.
Obviously, Christian's, the game was didn't affect the game.
Right.
Alabama was far enough ahead.
But, I'll be interested to see. Obviously, the injuries can't keep mounting up for Alabama on the defensive side of the football.
No, just, you know, starting to run out of bodies, you know.
Right. But then if you switch to, and, you know, talking a little bit about Southern Miss, great passing team, stout run defense for Conference USA purposes, but pass defense is pretty weak. And so with what Alabama seems to do well, we'll probably see the ball slung around a little bit more on Saturday.
By the same token that they scored 47 at Troy, they had to score 47 because they gave up 42.
Right.
And again, Tua and those wide receivers and you know, Najee with a big game, again, not – rushing yard statistics, but some of those passes, that wheel route, certainly it has in some ways the shorter passes have some of the same effect as a run. It's not quite the same as lining up, knocking guys 6 yards off the ball, but it's, you know, it forces a defense to play close to the line of scrimmage and then you can go over the top on them, which Alabama did a couple of times.
We definitely saw that from Chad Kelly and Ole Miss a couple of years ago, where their RPO offense, quick passing offense, essentially was a de facto run game.
Right.
They didn't really have a great stable of running backs. But we'll kind of get into that here in just a second. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about Alabama's game against South Carolina and then the upcoming matchup against Southern Miss. So stay tuned for that. This has been Clint Lamb with the Bama Beat podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. And welcome back into the Bama Beat Podcast. This is Clint Lamb sitting here once again with Cecil Hurt. And we have been talking about Alabama's game against South Carolina, 47-23 win. You know, I kind of addressed a few of the potential issues or question marks with the Tide coming out of that game. But then talking about the offensive side of the football and the passing game and how prolific it looked. Have you been surprised, Cecil, at the, you know, I wouldn't say the development because I think he's always been a strong player, but the fact that they've really tried to make an effort to get Devontae Smith involved more in the passing game, it seems. I mean, he's emerged kind of as Alabama's number two receiver behind Jerry Jeudy.
Well, no, because if you listen to Nick Saban all through August, even at SEC Media Days, any questions, and he gets asked so many questions about Tua. And what he has said over and over is for Tua to take what's there, to take what the defense gives him, which not just a lock on Jerry Jeudy, not just a lock on Ruggs, but he's got four or five receivers on some plays, particularly now with Najee. Just get the ball to any of them, and any of them can make the play. Now, Tua makes great throws. Devonta. The main thing we talked about in the press box was just, you know, whether even with the new targeting rule, it takes some courage to go across the middle the way Devonta does. And
especially being 175 pounds.
Yeah, 175 pounds. And he's not reluctant to do that. So the whole design is to create space, create opportunities for all those guys. Waddle didn't get very many touches in this game, but the next game or the Texas A&M game, you may see Waddle touch it 8 or 10 times. It just depends on what the defense gives, and Tua recognizing that. And in some ways, you'd rather have it distributed like that. And you know, Jerry Jeudy, people say, oh, he didn't get, you know, he had 6, I think, for 85, you know, somewhere in there. But he's double covered most of the game. Teams feel like they have to come off him, have to do more with Devonta. You'll see Jerry get a lot more. So I think that's the way that Nick Saban envisioned this offense for Tua being able to run this offense. Because the ball was going everywhere, making all kind of throws, guys getting the ball in space, and you can see what Ruggs can do in space, what Najee can do in space, and that's the whole design of the offense.
Right. It, to me, it's pretty interesting. What I love about these Alabama receivers, as talented as they all are, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that all of them are going to be playing on Sundays in the very near future. You talk about the willingness to, you know, put the team first. You don't hear Jalen Waddle complaining about his lack of usage in this particular game. You see Devontae Smith, when the ball's in another person's hands, he is blocking his tail off, probably even more so than these other Alabama receivers. Now, granted, you know, Jerry Jeudy works his tail off in the blocking game as well. So does Henry Ruggs, from everything I've seen. It just seems like the group as a whole is very selfless compared to a lot of, you know, you have a lot of diva receivers.
Right. I think they have a group mentality.
Right.
I think that they're just as happy for Ruggs to score, for Jerry to score, even for Najee to score. And I think that I don't think that they have any ego clash over how many times guys are getting the ball. They're, you know, if they get open, Tua's going to get it to them. So they just need to go out and do their
And that's extremely rare.
Job.
I mean, when you talk about if any one of them had that diva personality, you could talk about it being a potential cancer. I mean, just complaining about the lack of targets. And, I mean, that can kind of unravel everything. It's just – it's been very cool to see because you've seen – you know, a duo of receivers or a trio, you know, that have been all, you know, fantastic. I mean, you even go back to Ole Miss last year with their trio, but I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like this group of Alabama receivers.
No, and I think, and people will laugh at this, but I think it all goes back to Julio, and Julio not having that kind of mentality. And then, you know, so the next guy, you know, if you played 3 years with Julio or if you played a year with Julio, you learn, hey, he isn't griping about his touches and he's Julio Jones. And then Amari Cooper isn't griping about his touches, and Calvin Ridley isn't griping about his, because it's the way that it's been done. And so now these guys have come in, and Judy and Ruggs, and you know, so they hadn't had to gripe so much about theirs.
Right.
There's enough to go around.
Definitely. Yeah, when you're attempting around it as many times. I mean, 39 pass attempts in the last game, which is for an Alabama offense is a lot more than we're used to.
Yeah, and most of it was the first team, you know.
Absolutely.
The Tua played into the fourth quarter.
Right.
For the first time this year. So.
Right. Well, you know, and I think that that's actually an excellent point, kind of setting the example from Julio Jones. The last thing I wanted to touch on in this podcast, and obviously there's been a lot of questions about it, the offensive line. They got Chris Owens back. We're able to kick Landon Dickerson back to guard. I thought he played pretty well, but the unit as a whole, that just didn't seem like they were as interested in maybe utilizing the run game, which, you know, a lot of that has to do with
what South Carolina's doing.
Obviously. But, you know, where do you think the offensive line showed improvement? Do you think there's still, you know, quite a bit of room for improvement? What were your thoughts on the offensive line?
I thought they did. Tua was... I mean, Tua got pressure sometimes. They sacked him a couple of times, but I thought it was marginally better. That's almost just an eye test thing.
Right.
Because, like you say, they don't run the exact same. You can't sit there and take a film and say, all right, well, here's New Mexico State and here's South Carolina, because they don't run the same stuff. You know, they're not trying to do some of the same stuff. But I thought it was better. This will be the last game without Deontay Brown, so he'll be back and after this game, but it'll be interesting to see how they progress. I thought Chris Owens struggled at times.
He did.
I'll be interested if Akior is back closer to ready. He may need another week. So I thought Dickerson was pretty good. I thought he was pretty solid. The tackles were good. The tackles hadn't been dominant. You know,
not as dominant as we thought they were going to be.
Probably not. But I thought it was a little bit better. I thought there was some holes. There was one hole. You know, Najee had a huge hole that hit up in there. Brian Robinson had a huge hole. They just didn't run it as much. But the more Alabama keeps hitting those 40, 50 yarders and backing people off the line, I think the better it'll be.
Right. And especially when they get back to full strength. I mean, they are missing a lot of guys.
Yeah, they're just not. I mean, people just need to accept the reality. They're just not going to line it up this year and play Derrick Henry ball. They're just not going to do it. It's not suited to their talents as an offense.
And do you think that puts more pressure on the defense, or do you think
Tua puts plenty of pressure on the defense. The quarterback and the receivers put a lot of pressure on the defense. So whether it's more or less, I don't know, but there were some plays that Alabama had. You know, Ruggs' touchdown, Najee's touchdown. What do you do about that on defense? What do you do? You know, once Ruggs catches the ball in that position, he's gone. You can forget it. You know, there wasn't a guy close enough. And you're certainly not going to make up the angle on a guy that's running a 4-3.
Right.
You know? Or you're on the sideline, you're in position to make a tackle, and the guy just jumps over you. You know, what are you going to do about those kind of things?
Right.
You ultimately have to be able to run some. If only to get your defense off the field, you know, keep them off the field, to have a 12-play drive. Nobody, you get no more points for a 12-play drive than you do for a 2-play drive. You do get the benefit of keeping your defense off the field.
And I think that that's probably the more important aspect is, you know, do you think that's put more pressure on Alabama's defense?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. But
that's all right.
Yeah, the most important thing is to get 6 points. The next thing is to control the tempo of the game and to have a fresh defense, have a defense that plays 65 snaps instead of 85. That is part of it.
But with how thin they are right now.
But you can't just, you know, tell Ruggs to stop, step out of bounds at the 20. You know, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Nor should it happen. nor should it. Nobody is complaining about explosive plays. You know, that's what offenses are designed to do. Alabama has 5 or 6 in a game, and yeah, it gives the other team a few more opportunities. But the two ways you fix it, the defense got to get some 3 and outs, and the offense needs to be a little better at controlling the ball on the ground.
Yeah, completely agree with that. So I guess that's going to do it for today. Real quick, is there anything that you're looking for Alabama against Southern Miss? They're a 39-point favorite yet again. Do you think there's anything – obviously, there's always things that you can improve on in this game, but maybe what are some things you're looking out for potentially?
Got to punt better, because if you punt a line drive down there, it's coming back.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. Again, just you watch for incremental things. And there's so much commentary out there right now that I literally, when I came in this morning, and I made sure to look at the schedule. You know, Alabama's playing Southern Miss this week. They're not playing Georgia. They're not playing LSU. They're not playing Auburn. They're not playing Oklahoma. They're not playing Clemson. And everybody wants to speculate about how that the Alabama team that played on Saturday would do against those teams. You know, time will come. We'll find out. But right now, what Alabama has to do is improve in the areas that it needs to improve from the South Carolina game into Southern Miss, into Ole Miss, open week, which may help some, Texas A&M. And Texas A&M will be a tough game out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you look at
– so we'll see.
You look at, I mean, the USC team that we saw play Alabama in that 2016 opener was not the same USC team we saw at the end of the season with Sam Darnold and some of those guys. I mean,
teams go one direction or another.
Absolutely.
And Alabama just needs to keep it pointed in one direction, but they don't have to. I promise you, Oklahoma's not going to be running out of that tunnel at Bryant-Denny on Saturday. You know,
right.
Clemson's not going to be doing it, so you don't have to worry about that just yet. You've got to worry about getting better.
Great point. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Bama Beat Podcast. We appreciate you guys hopping on here. Cecil, I appreciate you hopping on here with me today. And we will talk to you guys soon. This has been Clint Lamb on the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's.